What is up? Massive slate. Week 3 college baseball insiders. Matt's coming aboard, rocking the 6-4 analytics hat. Nick Hathcote joining us. What's going on, fellas?
Man, in Arlington last weekend, Vegas this weekend, about to go board a plane here in about an hour. So, very excited. Shout out to Jason at 64 Analytics for the hat. These are sick. We need some merch.
I need to get one.
Yeah, that's nice. I need one.
Yeah, the little rope.
Speaking of Jason, big news. He just went softball for his data. If you're a softball coach or know him, guy's incredible. Great to hang out with. Great personality. We'll take care of you. Let him know the insider sent you because he does top-notch work. So give him a good shout-out there. He supported us. We always support him. Matt, you're back. I'll let you take over.
Well, I was going to jump right over into Nick. How does it feel to be number one, assuming you win this weekend? Tennessee Volunteers. Texas A&M just really stumbled out of the gate. So I've got to give your Vols credit.
Yeah, it's been impressive. I know like people are going to kind of knock on the schedule, which is understandable. But Sanford is no joke. Like that team is a team that's probably going to make the NCAA tournament. They have, I think, four of the last 5 years. They just kind of get swamped. Like their players just get stolen in the transfer portal. So it's tough for them, especially early in the season. But yeah, like stat wise, everything you want to see from the Vols lineup, the pitching staff, who we were like, I can admit it, we were all questionable about. Like that was kind of where we were poking holes, where it's like, we know this Tennessee team's going to hit. Like Josh Elander is one of the best hitting coaches in the country. Kind of I tell the way they recruit is ridiculous. So we knew their offense wasn't going to be an issue, but I think the pitching staff has been great so far. This weekend is obviously going to be way bigger of a test. I mean, Liam Doyle finally facing like a big time power team in like Oklahoma State today, I think will tell a lot. But yeah. And then also we can talk AJ Russell. If he is fully healthy, which man, I don't know if you guys actually like tuned in Tuesday for that midweek game against North Alabama, but yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a bullpen day and he's throwing 93, 95, topped out at 97. And it's like, okay, if this ends up being your Friday, Saturday guy, along with Marcus Phillips and Liam Doyle, that changes a lot for this Tennessee roster.
Yeah, Liam Doyle, biggest surprise for me.
76% strikeout rate
absolutely like night and day different from what he was.
Even if he was facing high school veteran, 76 is that's a stupid number.
Yeah.
Q Millie, your Florida Gators are off to a hot start as well.
I think Sully I've said it time and time again, he just prefaced the midweeks. I mean, you got to have some luck, obviously. The correct call was made. The review is a little sketchy, but now you've seen is where it is justified. Maybe not the review angle that they had, just from a fan base perspective, photos. It happens, right? It's not going to be the first time. I mean, we had the Arkansas issue in Arlington a couple days prior, and then this. Like, teams really have to reiterate this. Like, it's not going away, and unfortunately, if you're on the bad end of it, you got to be prepared for that, and you got to preface it. So it costs Stetson a potential game-tying and game-winning run. So it's something you're going to have to deal with moving forward. And who knows, it could happen to Florida today. And it's just something that they're going to have to deal with. So the rule is what it is. They were right. The appeal got denied and we move forward, but big series. Miami's offense is off to a little bit of a slow start. Cuvée absolutely murdered Florida last year. Hopefully they stay away from him. Nick Roberts has looked good, you know, so far. Griffin Hugues has looked good, but this will be the best lineup they face. I mean, Florida's sacked when Blake Sears, your 8-9 hitter, and that tells you something. The kid can ball. You know, it's going to be a big series, so we'll get into it, though.
All right, speaking of getting into it, let's dive into the first matchup, Kansas State versus LSU. I've got the pitchers in as Cade Anderson versus Jacob Frost. Frost went last week against Arkansas in that game one win for Kansas State, who had a really – great trip down to Texas. Go 3-0, get the sweep over Michigan, Arkansas, and TCU. Is Kansas State a little undervalued here? I think they're, what, plus 200 against LSU?
I'll start it off because I've played them. I have LSU in a couple of parlay pieces, as anybody like who follows us can see. I think Kate Anderson's kind of a different story versus who, like Kansas State, obviously facing good pitching last week. I'm just not fully bought in. Like, yes, they had a great weekend, but I think what they're going to be more like that opening weekend, Kansas State, like over in Conway, kind of where they went 2-2, winning against St. Joe's, winning against Washington, struggled against Coastal. I think they're more of that team, like kind of middle to back end of the Big 12. So, yeah, you give me LSU here for like who we think is going to be a top, obviously, 4 or 5 team in the SEC contender if they stay healthy, which is a massive part. And the freshmen have absolutely kind of been lighting it up for them. And that was a question we had coming in, was they have so many new pieces with transfers and freshmen. How would they all click? And we saw like the freshmen kind of were the ones that took over that game against Dallas Baptist on Wednesday. So yeah, I think LSU, I'll take the more talented roster here. Kate Anderson is just so good. Kansas State kind of struggles a bit offensively. And I could see this being low scoring, especially in that ballpark. But I still trust LSU more than I do Kansas State here.
Q.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a chip on their shoulder for LSU. I would say they lost the game last week to Omaha. They bounced back and just obliterated them game two. I think Jay Johnson has something to prove. And I said on the show, Nick, you agreed, like the transfers didn't really pan out last year. They're panning out this year. I mean, Daniel Dickinson is actually tearing the ball. The freshman, like you said, like everything's clicking for him this year, and it didn't last year. And I think they're trying to prove that, like, hey, we can make this work. And I agree. I think Kansas State had a – you know, they took advantage of a TCU who just got, you know, a heartbreak loss to Arkansas late last, you know, the night before. I think they took advantage of that. I think Kansas State is more what you saw in Conway than what LSU is. And LSU plays well in that park. So, but I do like a lower scoring game. I think that's a good point.
All right. Let's talk about Tennessee and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State doesn't, their pitching staff isn't what they could be. But we'll see if they can turn it around. The offense was ho-hum. What was that, last weekend, 2 weekends ago, when they played in Arlington? Liam Doyle versus Gabe Davis is who we've got in here on the site. Nick, I'll let you start it off. You think Liam Doyle continues to shove this weekend?
Yeah, I think the biggest point in this matchup is Oklahoma State, like as good as their offense is, strikes out a lot. And that's kind of been Holiday's mantra for the last, I don't know, what, 8 to 10 years?
Yeah.
As long as he's been there, where it's like, we have a powerful offense, but they do have a tendency to strike out a lot. Now you're facing the pitcher who's leading the country in strikeout percentage. I don't think that's a good kind of recipe for Oklahoma State. I think they'll have issues putting the ball in play, especially in that ballpark in Houston. Like, yes, there's that short porch and left. But like it's tough to get the ball out of there, especially like this early in the season. Like I know it's indoors, so weather won't make a huge difference, but that's still a major league ballpark. And if Oklahoma State relies on the long ball only versus a pitching staff who gave up the least. So Tennessee has led the nation 3 of the last 4 seasons in least amount of home runs allowed. So now if Oklahoma State relies on that long ball to try to get like a 2 or 3 run home run, I don't think that's a recipe to win. Yeah, I'm on the Vols here. Obviously, it's not just a homer pick. I think it's just it's a better pitching staff, especially like I know like Liam Doyle is going to be followed by Tanner Franklin. So hopefully, like I think Tennessee's trying to get 5 out of Doyle today and then going to piggyback it with Tanner Franklin, who's the transfer from Kennesaw State. He's also 97 to 100. If you haven't seen him yet, like guy's a freak. He's one of those going to be extremely fun to watch. So that's not great when Tennessee's going to start a lefty who throws whatever 94, 96, touches 99. And then they bring in a righty who is 95, 97, touches 99, 100. I trust this Vols team, especially with pitching staff. And then the offense is just clicking right now. Like they've got 15 guys right now. Like Tony's having an issue trying to figure out like who to even put in the lineup because of like how deep this lineup is right now. Levi Clark, I want to mention him. He's a freshman. He's kind of pushing Tony's hand and kind of like he's leading the country in batting. I think what is he hitting like 800? And he has like 13 RBIs in like 15 plate appearances, which is just silly. And that's a freshman.
Man out on that one.
Yeah, but Cannon Peebles is also like his on-base percentage is like 500. So it's tough. And he's also so much better defensively already. And mostly because this is his third year in college. And Tony and Frank, you've seen right, like they can care less.
Right. He's got to stop talking about Tennessee now.
For an hour. I'll keep it short. Thing.
I almost did the Oscar music, like the wrap it up.
You got to do the around the horn mute.
Yeah. Yeah. They could just care less what the catcher on offense does. Like Frank Anderson just cares about defense. But yeah, so like, just give me this Vols team. Love them here in this matchup.
Well, Bucket agrees. Appreciate the shout out, Bucket.
See, he's on my side. You guys hate Florida and Arkansas fans, just haters up here.
I'll keep it short. Or Oklahoma State's pitching just never pans out. This is too good of a Vols offense. Like you said, high K rate. Liam Doyle's struck out 25 of his last 33 batters faced. So that plays right into the Tennessee hand. I'll leave it at that.
Yep. Short and succinct. All right. The Mills family rivalry here, Miami taking on Florida.
If you like Florida, I gave it out on our Discord. I like Florida minus 1.5 in a lean. I'll probably end up playing it. Since 2021, there's only been one game that's decided by one run. These teams either just jump all over each other or at least win by 3 to 4 runs. I like Florida here. I talked about it off the air. Miami's offense is a little slow to start. I just think Florida's too powerful, too deep in their lineup, especially at home. This is a hated rivalry. I think Florida's too much here.
Nick?
Yeah, keep it short. I have Florida in a parlay. I think it's a great parlay piece today. I talked to Q about it this morning. I'm a little hesitant on them tomorrow. That's kind of the matchup where I would be a little bit questionable on playing this Florida-Miami. I'll probably stay completely off of it. But, yeah, today I think the matchup, Liam Peterson has looked way more consistent this year than he did last year. And I think that's a great sign for Florida moving forward. And this deep lineup, yeah, I trust Florida here over Miami.
How Jordan, chippy does it get?
I think with Blake Sear, it gets real chippy.
Yeah. Don't both teams have a player for – transfer portal?
Nobody went to Miami, I believe. Oh. Yeah. They did have two for Stetson, though. Landon Russell, the Canseco, and Perez, the catcher, who got called out on that questionable play at first. So,
all right, let's go TCU versus Southern Miss. Southern Miss on the website, 1.1 run. Dog in this one. TCU didn't look bad, but they didn't look great either in Arlington.
They couldn't get timely hits. Every time they'd get a guy on, they were rolling into a double play or a strikeout. Now, here's the thing. Southern Miss benefits from playing at the Pete a lot, and it's an incredible environment. This is a matchup. I think this might be one of the tightest matchups of the weekend. Good pitching for Southern Miss. I think their hitting coming into the season was – what they're showing us is a little undervalued. I didn't think they were going to be that good offensively, but they've put up some decent numbers. But they're traveling on the road. TCU, this is, you know, I got to think that Sarluce isn't going to overlook Southern Miss because they do beat, you know, big-time programs. It could go either way. Like, I could see both teams winning a series and absolutely be okay with both teams winning a series. Like, they're just good baseball programs. I think this is going to be like 6-5 games. You're going in the eighth or ninth tied every game. This is going to be a fun series to watch.
Yeah, Matt, can you put in JB Middleton and see what number that brings up? Yeah,
that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah,
either of you knew the
pitcher. I mean, to me, if it's less than a run, that's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I land on this, anyways. This is a stay away. But watch great all watch. Weekend. Yeah, watch all weekend for me. Like, I think this we're going to find out a lot more about this starting staff for TCU this week. You mentioned this Southern Miss offense has been way better than at least I expected coming into the season. I thought this was going to be kind of like a downfall for their team. Like, we knew the pitching staff was going to be there. Like, it just has been for the last 10 years with Southern Miss. But offensively, the question mark, and they've definitely outperformed expectations. So this starting pitching staff for TCU has a lot to prove. And I think this could be the type of weekend where it's going to be a 2-1 series. I think either way. I think being at TCU helps. But, yeah, this is a stay-away all weekend type of series for me, and just enjoy the watch.
All right. Southern Miss pitching factory ever since Tanner Hall was there, maybe even before there. But I don't think Nico Mazza, none of those guys are still there. but another slate of good arms. This one right here, I'm really excited to talk about because I'm probably going to be opposite of you guys, even though I was high on Clemson coming into the season. South Carolina has been pretty good in Paul Menieri's first year, and I've got to believe that you look at Matthew Becker's stats, and I've pulled up right here. I mean, he is outperforming several pitchers in the country. Aiden, not one of them, but I think South Carolina wins his first game. They may not win the series, this Palmetto series, where they're going to bounce around to different stadiums in South Carolina, but I think South Carolina is a real dog to win game one.
I think this is a stay away for me. I do think Clemson wins the series. What I'm most interested to see, does Aiden Nack kind of get out of that slow start funk he's been in? He looks good the first order, and then he gets rocked the second order. It's happened two straight starts. I'm not 100% sold on South Carolina's pitching. Becker has, but last year they got rocked. And I think this is where South Carolina is in a Tennessee and a Florida standpoint where they've taken care of business against the schedule they've been given, and that's all you can ask. But Clemson's played a lot of competition. And, I mean, I love our Ron Burgundy, but I just think this is where Clemson playing tournaments.
Funny.
You know, I think this matters. Aiden Axe, the X factor. If Clemson wins tonight, I think the series is a wrap.
Yeah, I actually parlayed Clemson here. You guys can see it in our kind of Discord and Doug Club. I don't like it. I think it's up to -180 now. Like that's kind of tough. Like I would hate to play it by itself. So I moved it down to play like one unit, get it close to even money because I do think Clemson wins this one. I think I trust Aiden Knack kind of more than I do Matthew Becker. I think Matthew Becker I think he goes back to more of what we saw last year, like where he's not a bad starter, but I think he's more of like around that like 3.5 to 4.5 type range, like of an ERA, not a true Friday night or like a guy you're worried about on the Friday nights in the SEC. So I think Clemson, I think this one at home, and the reason is because if this was like the neutral site game like tomorrow, or if this was in Founders Park in South Carolina, I would feel differently. I think Clemson gets this game one, and then I think I probably will stay away the next 2 days.
Boys, that may be a trip we have to schedule next year. We may have to take all three of these games because I think that'd be awesome to go from Clemson to the neutral to Columbia.
Same thing with North Carolina, East Carolina. It does the same thing. It's like all three parks and they're all within they're all within like 20 or 30 miles of each other. Like I wish more teams kind of did this. It's a cool little concept. I love obviously the preseason tournaments because that gets amazing matchups, but some of these like rivalries where it's like a home and neutral, I think is really cool.
Matthew Becker, a -0.09 Sierra. That's
crazy.
But I'm looking at they've played Sacred Heart, Winthrop, Queens, Milwaukee, and Garden Web.
Carolina West.
Definitely a step up in competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
And you can say that about a lot. We're not picking on Becker. A lot of these teams have been cupcakes, and they're doing what they should.
All right. Next up, Baylor. The Baylor Bears sitting at a big dog price of +240, +3.5 on the run line. I'm going to get the graphics pulled up here, but Baylor, live dog to beat Oregon State.
I don't know about live chance dog. Here. I like the +3.5. Oregon State, I feel like, is going to play a slow, low game. Bigger park. I think Baylor's pitching can kind of keep them in the game. I think Baylor's pitching can limit Oregon State's, you know, maybe power. Because it's not in Corvallis. This kind of has like a 2-1 heading into the sixth or seventh, and then maybe it gets to like 5-2 kind of game. To me, the bigger part, the pitching. I think Baylor stays in this at the +3.5. If I'm not mistaken, Matt, they performed really well in the tournament they played in last year, Baylor. They were in just about every game because they played TCU.
Tennessee had them last year. Tennessee was one that ran, but it wasn't like better, like 7-1, I think, but nothing like, nothing like terrible.
They didn't do bad considering what I thought how bad they would be last year. I think they're better this year.
Yeah, I've been impressed with their pitching staff too. Like Ethan Calder, yeah, Ethan Calder starting today, who transferred in, has been great. I don't think that, so I'll go ahead and say it. This is going to be my, kind of like my free play from the show, because I don't think the number's available anymore from where I posted at Doug Club. Under 12 and a half. I was shocked at where like this number came out at 12 and a half. With how good like Ethan Calder was. Nelson Keljo's been, he's kind of an up and down guy, but like I don't, like Baylor offense is going to struggle. Like their pitching staff kind of has to carry them. Oregon State's offense has been very up and down. I still expect Oregon State to win this one, but I'm with Q. Like I think at worst, what, like even at worst, like this is like a 7-2 type of game, or like a 6-3 or a 6-1. Like I was shocked that this number came out 12 and a half. So I was happy to, I'll give out the free play, because I don't think that number is available anymore. If it is, hammer it. Because, yeah, I think 12
and a half, down to 11.
Especially, yeah, especially in that ballpark, too. Like, this isn't, yeah, like you said, this isn't in Corvallis. This is Major League Ballpark again in Arlington. So, yeah, this 12 and a half surprised me. So, I was very happy to play that one.
I'm very surprised that the site likes Oregon State so much. I mean, you look at the head-to-head matchups. Baylor's better in weighted runs created. But Ethan Calder's stats are not pulling up. So I wonder if that changes much.
Try to regenerate it. That could be it.
He has pitched, hasn't he?
He's been there. He's thrown both weekends so far.
Yep. He's pitched well. Like you said, the whole staff,
Friday,
have been really good.
Joseph said, hey, how do you feel about the under on the Duke game?
I think it should be Duke under, card, under the table and out of your sight, because I don't think you should even look at Duke.
Well, that's why I was happy to, like, I obviously cashed on the Liberty Duke over on, was it Tuesday? It was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I want to say Tuesday, but it was mostly on Liberty. Like, I knew this Liberty offense. This Liberty offense is great. I thought Duke would help more than scoring, what they score, like 4 runs?
They're brutal.
I thought Duke would help out more, but yeah, I just can't trust this Duke offense, pitching staff. Like, they're just 24 new guys on our roster. Is a lot to overcome. Like Northwestern's nothing to joke about, but we've been surprised this whole year by Friday night starters in the Big Ten have been impressive.
I think it's cool for Duke to be a 5-run favorite.
Who should they be a 5-run? Like, they're playing,
IMG,
a high school team. But I just can't trust this Duke team right now. So this is unless it's playing a total because of the other team. I'm just off this Duke squad until they figure it out.
9-4.
So it's first time we saw your comments.
It's under 13. Thanks for being here. Like to show what's on Texas A&M coming up next.
Actually. Right on time.
Good time. Texas A&M off to a little rocky start. What do you make of this?
So Nick and I were talking about it. So Arizona got off to a really rocky start, and then they turned it on by sweeping San Diego. New Mexico, they blew them out. I think this is where Arizona is going to run into a Texas A&M team that just got embarrassed twice in games that a lot of people watched. And Mike Gurley has to be accountable for this team. And he pretty much said in the press conference, like, this is not who we are. It needs to change. And I think – A&M's a little overpriced at minus 200 because I think Arizona's getting discounted a little bit. But I think this is the game where A&M is a good parlay piece because I think they wake up. I cannot see Mike Gurley. If they lose this game, that tells you this season is going to be a bad season. I think this is where they wake up and they get this win.
Yeah, I trust
Hawaii.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hawaii again. Hey, we catched it, though, last week. For those that stayed up, I passed out in about the seventh inning. Yeah. Hawaii was up like 3-1. Then I found out the next morning it went to extras. But it was good to start 1-0 on the weekend.
Those.
Yeah, I mean, A&M-wise, like, obviously you cashed, took Texas State plus 3.5 on Tuesday. I just this A&M offense, I trust Ryan Prager. Like, that guy is – he's obviously a top 5 arm in the country. Maybe the best lefty in the country, not named Jamie Arnold. So it's tough here because, like, I do trust Prager, but I just can't – this A&M offense, like, without – until Caden Sorrell comes back. And I know he's close. They said he's been running, kind of doing, like, the workouts and practicing everything, but they're being, like, extremely cautious, especially now with the loss there of Grijalvec. like they need Caden Sorrell to be healthy because they need that middle of the lineup like bolstered again. So it, I just need to see this A&M offense click. Like I grew up with Michael Early, know him extremely well, and I like he's very fiery. So I guarantee he got into the Wednesday and Thursday because it is flat out unacceptable to lose to Cal Poly and Texas State, especially like a Texas State team who's in your state. I believe it's like an hour or two away. You shouldn't even be like in the same recruiting class as them. So it's kind of tough. And him being a hitting coach, I know this has hit him hard for sure. So like A&M is going to eventually bounce back. I just personally need to see it first before I trust them and before I lay, especially 200 with them.
I do like USC, by the way. Here's the thing with Texas A&M. I would have bet you all the money in the world that this team would not ever be like average. And a 99 weighted runs created, they're actually below average. With this lineup, you look at it top to bottom. Why aren't they performing?
Just no motivation. I mean, I watch Gavin Cash just keep the bat on his shoulder, and then he gets struck out and he trots to the bench like nothing happened. It's the whole team. There's no motivation, no fire. And that's shocking.
Team Sierra of four. Like that, that's not good.
That's most
last year.
This is what I love about.
I'll say this year is mostly bullpen issues because the starters have been like between like Miles Patton on Sunday was awesome and still lost like to Cal Poly. He gave up nothing and struck out like 13. I think like Ryan Prager, Miles Patton have been no issue. It's their bullpen just has issues. And like this could be the like Max Wiener like leaving and following Schloss of Texas. This is kind of where you're seeing it.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about the advanced analytics, because you look at Prager's ERA, his whip, they look good. But you look at that XFIP in Sierra, they're in the fours. Like, he just doesn't have what he had last year. This was a team that was top five in both weighted runs created and team XFIP in Sierra. And they're just not showing up outside of Miles Patton.
Yeah.
I think he's the only one sub two Sierra.
Yeah, we talked about this in the offseason. I think this is like on one of our preview shows when we talked about A&M. Like Prager used his changeup so much last year, and it was like his most successful pitch. Now there's a scouting report on him. If teams kind of sit on that and like you know what to expect, and if he's throwing it still, I think it was what 56% of the time last year.
Yeah,
you can't kind of do that 2 years in a row. So he's going to have to lean on his fastball, which isn't fantastic. Like he's a low 90s guy. So it is one of those like, yeah, Sierra's going to show a lot.
I want to fade A&M, but I think I can't buy Arizona right now. But I was very well still early in the season, but I said I didn't think Texas A&M was the best team in the country. It was kind of the easy choice, I guess, to put up. Damn, it's the number one spot.
Yeah, they're not first. They're somewhere between second and 305th.
Yeah.
So, tough take.
Yeah, for sure. All right, last one on the sheet. Vanderbilt taking on UCLA. And I know just in a group chat with Noah Beanick and Ben Upton, that whole group, they were sweating some UCLA Bruins games while I was down in Arlington. Didn't get a chance to see it, but are the Bruins good? Is West Coast baseball back?
I don't know. The jury's out. Like, they've had a lot of
Vanderbilt. Is Vandy back?
I'll say this. Vandy offense is closer to being back than I think UCLA. They've actually hit the ball really well against St. Mary's, who isn't a bad team as a mid-major out west. I don't know about this UCLA team. They have had some extreme luck on their side. This almost reminds me of like TCU last year that just continued to like pull wins out of their ass early on in the season. You're like, how's that even possible? And then they kind of went on that run where they just fell apart. I almost think that's UCLA. I don't think they're fully back. I think they're better than last year's team. I don't think it could be any worse. But I got to see more. And I think this matchup is a huge opportunity for them to say, hey, we are legit or we're getting better. But again, Vanderbilt's played well. Pitching's been well for the most part. You know, so this is a stay away. I think you got to see both teams and how they play to really kind of see the way the season's going to go.
Yeah, that UCLA lost to Corpus Christi last Saturday.
That's crazy.
I'll admit that one cost me money. Like Corpus Christi's not any good, and like
Michelle lost the next day.
That
and they won.
That one was tough.
Yeah,
But yeah, I'm kind of with you on this Bruins team. It's they're going to cause issues in the Big Ten, especially. Big Ten's been great, as I spoke about earlier. Teams traveling to the West Coast, it's a different type of ball. And I think Vandy's going to kind of be in that same boat. Like, Vandy almost plays a West Coast type of offense, especially from SEC standards. I think this one is more of like an underlook. I'm not touching either team here. J.D. Thompson, obviously, you can trust him. Like, I don't think he's not going to get, like, blown up, especially by this UCLA offense. I think this under, I think the total is like 9.5, though, or something, like, extremely low. So it's a stay away from me here. But this is going to be another one that I think this series – and like this whole tournament out there on the West Coast says a lot about both these teams all weekend.
Yeah, UCLA is sitting at +1.5, -130 on the run line, +135 on the money line, total of 10. Which that, I mean,
1.5, the total's telling you it's going to be a close game.
Unders have been synonymous with Vandy and UCLA for a long time, I feel like.
Yes, I've
seen a couple comments both on Twitter and in here about the pitching staff. So that was, excuse the language. Yes, we're trying to get them updated. They were auto imported based on the first two weekends and the starting rotation.
Yes, Liam.
So we're, we'll get it fixed. Matthew Becker was just fixed. Jacob Frost. I'm trying to think of a couple others so we can go back here, but. Yeah, we'll get them updated ASAP. Y'all have anything else? You are
a decent one to watch.
Do what?
I'm not betting on it, but Dallas Baptist or Roberts, that's probably a decent matchup to watch. Obviously, if you stay up late, watch Ty Bremner is always fun at home. I mean, the guy's lights out. Georgetown, Florida State, powerhouse. It's yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts on this Texas team? I'll actually be there to see them in person.
Why don't you give us your thoughts?
I'm headed out to Las Vegas. I don't know. I'm not a Jim Schlossnagel fan, so it's hard for me to even give them credit when credit's due. I still think their pitching staff is not up to par. They're going to have the bats. I feel like Texas always does. It's a hotbed for recruiting. But I don't think this is Texas's year. I think they're just going to be a middle of the road SEC team.
They need to break out too. They're kind of in that same boat offensively as Texas A&M. And I know like people are talking about the weather; it's been cold down there. I get it, but they struggled to score against Dartmouth. That's not a good sign when you have to face pitching staffs like Arkansas and Tennessee and Florida and LSU. Because the offense is supposed to be what carries this Texas team this year. If their offense doesn't pick it up, which I think it will, there's way too much talent on there. There's two first-round picks between Max Bellew and Jalen Flores on this team where they'll pick it up like eventually. And I think this weekend, like Vegas also, if you don't know about this tournament in this park, that helps a lot of offensive issues. Ball absolutely flies. You're going to see a lot of the totals between like 14.5 and like 17.5.
Yeah, it's totals 14.5. Yeah. But the run line's 4.5 laying it with Texas. I mean –
that's tough. I have Texas in a parlay. I like them today. I'm just not high on this Washington team. Like they're kind of rebuild mode. I trust Texas today. I just need to see like this offense, like I said, is more like the A&M type of like wheelhouse right now where it's like the talent's there. Why is it not clicking?
Yeah. And I trust Jared Spencer. I think he's been good.
Yeah.
Outside of him. I don't know. Q. Anything else?
I think jury's still out for everything you guys said. I think they can hit the ball. I think they're playing better than they did last year. They seem to be playing with a little more fire, a little more confidence. Last year they really struggled to get anything going offensively. I think it's better. There's obviously room for them to kind of explode. I think that's a big tournament for them. Washington can be a little scrappy. They're a team that – I mean, they gave Stanford – plenty of opportunities for Stanford to lose last weekend, and then Stanford's offense just couldn't get an out there late. And but Washington didn't play terrible, at least offensively. I mean, they hung some runs against Stanford's pitching staff, so they're a team like they're not gonna go down quietly and only score one run. So The over might be a good play because the Huskies can swing the sticks too.
Matt, will you pull up the Michigan game?
Yeah, this is the Saturday night game in Las Vegas. I was curious to see what the site said about this, but
didn't Texas obliterate Texas Tech last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you'll see the same. Texas Tech, man, they just
this one will be set at 17.5, I bet. Like, this is one of those where this is going to be like a 10-8 type of this.
But look, I mean, look how bad Texas Tech's weighted runs created. They're 72nd. They're 28% below average.
I also count that to being like they faced North Carolina's pitching staff weekend one. That's obviously one of the best. We all have them as one of the best pitching staffs in the country for North Carolina. And then you go straight into UC Irvine, who we're all high on as well, like has a chance to win the West out there, like either them or probably Santa Barbara. So and their schedule, I think this is a Texas Tech team that's better than their record says and their offense says. Like they've probably played top five schedule in the country so far.
Who'd you say? Michigan?
Michigan, yeah. Because this was one of mine. I think this
– interesting matchup.
Yeah, I played this one. I'll say this number is still playable, but it's not where I got it, not where we put it out at. But Dylan, what'd you say? Big U. Yeah, I really like Michigan here. I think Long Beach. This is a rebuilding year for them. Obviously, like a very proud program. Awesome stadium to watch games at. Like this is like one of those like late night ESPN Plus streams that's always really cool. And I think Michigan here is just I think just a better team. So I got them at like -125. I know our site has it a little bit closer. But I think this is a little bit of a mismatch here, and I actually trust Dylan Vigue to kind of rebound. He didn't throw bad, but he wasn't like as impressive last
week. He was pretty bad
last weekend in Arlington.
Yeah,
I think he's better than that, and I think this is a Michigan game to win.
He had like 8 walks last weekend.
Yeah, it was like
you really can't afford to let guys get on base because you can afford to let them hit the long ball because. Yeah. Chances are Park's going to hold it, but he put way too many people.
And just one of the couple guys made like big errors behind him with runners on base, which kind of hurt. And then like he had to face more batters than necessary. He was like, it was like strikeout, walk, or like hit. Like it was a very odd game. But I do trust him against this Long Beach team.
Seeing Long Beach and thinking about the dirt bags, what's a better nickname, the Nobodies or the Dirt Bags?
Those nobody's jerseys were
sick
on Tuesday. Yeah. Those were, and it was such a cool idea too, where it's like we're playing the big school in state. So it's like we're going to put nobody's on our jersey. And then you also win on top of it. Like that was awesome.
It's kind of gimmicky. I like the jersey. Like I thought the jersey looked sick, but
we found Ben Upton's burner account.
Campbell was good the last 3 years. Like obviously, Justin Hare leaves for Ohio State, but they were like, let's not sell the fact that like Campbell's just this like D3 program. Like they're a good mid-major ball club. They play ECU tough, like all those Carolina teams. I mean, yeah, they beat Duke, but they gave Duke fits last year. They've given ECU fits like North Carolina. As much as I like the actual jersey design, I think it's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how much
you're definitely on the radar.
Yeah. Look at like Zach Neto was their player of the conference for them 2 years straight because he was hitting like 400. He was hitting 25 bombs. And it was like, okay, is this like a conference thing or is this a team thing? And now all of a sudden he's been the start. He started, what, like 120 games at shortstop for the Angels last, like literally a year after being drafted. Like that guy was a freak. He kind of carried them.
And then they had a big power hitter 2 years ago last year.
Oh my gosh. I know. Yeah. But like they get put in like difficult regions. Like they got paired up with Tennessee. Not a great matchup there. So it's tough for Campbell, like it being in North Carolina. But yeah, let's wait and see with this new coach before like we do too much with the nobodies.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Mississippi State Rice. Pico Cone, the real deal.
This feels getting there. Sometimes I think he's a little inconsistent. But I think he's making his strides, absolutely. This, to me, kind of says under. Like, this is a game, and I'll allude to another team. Like, they just underperform on Fridays. The game's closer than it should be. And then they just match the team Saturday and Sunday. Arkansas's in that boat. I gave a stat. Since last year, and they had quality, or they had obviously some of the SEC was involved in this, but then they've played like Murray State, obviously JMU. They played Washington State to begin the season this year. Arkansas is 13-2-1 to the under. Mississippi State's a very similar team. They struggle Fridays, and they have no business doing it.
Yeah, Pico Cone, I think, what, third in the nation, I think, strikeout percentage. He's been great. They need him to as well.
Oh, yeah, he's everything to them.
They can't accept – like, they just can't be one of those teams that accepts a loss every Friday again, kind of like they did last year. Well, last year did have to do with what's his name being hurt for, like, half the season. And then they're throwing Gerangelos on Saturdays was a great rebound. But, yeah, they need Pico Cone to be, like, great. And he has been so far. I like this matchup for Mississippi State on Friday. Rice battled with – I'm trying to think who they had. They had a pretty good team come down last weekend. And I can't think of who it was where they stole – they took one of two – they took one of three. But this Rice team is improving. Like, this isn't like your Rice team of old. But this is still – I think Mississippi State is still outclassing here, especially Pico Cone's going to be the best starter they've seen all year. So I trust Mississippi State in this spot.
What else we have?
Why don't we wrap it up on the Northeastern Hawaii?
Yeah.
You haven't touched on Arkansas. Do you like
trying them? We should go 3-0. It's inexcusable. Yeah. Gage Wood out till probably the start of SEC play. He was actually our best performing.
So is landing in a slide to the Sunday?
Yep. I still think Zach Root's probably our best pitcher. Gage Wood, he had the best numbers. I think he had
Zach was so good Saturday night.
0.07 Sierra.
God, he looked good.
Yeah, we have an embarrassment of riches at the pitching rotation.
Now, McIntyre, don't sleep on him. Like, I think he's going to have a great weekend. He got roughed up a little
bit. Yeah, he's got that hanging ball.
Very, very uncharacteristic.
Don't love it. Trying to get to Jeremy's laundry list of games here. Virginia Tech, I'll warn Nolan, +29.
All right.
I don't know.
Last game, Hawaii Northeastern. It is actually a low-key, really good game.
Man, I hate to leave you guys with all this popping off.
Rutgers Coastal is another one.
I think Coastal had a good question.
That's going to be intriguing.
Who would be your top three pitchers? Mine is easy. I'm going to say Pierce Kapala, Liam Doyle, and Joseph DeZerwa of Michigan State.
Maddie, he's big, high on Pierce. I think he's good.
I love the Sierra stat, and he is doing.
I do. I think we're like ignoring Jamie Arnold just because, like, we just know to
give. We knew he was going to be good though.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like
you could give super chalk like Ty Bremner, Jamie Arnold. That's not fair.
Yes, correct.
Let's pick different names.
I would. Yeah. So if I want to pick different names, Liam Doyle is one that kind of stands out. I would say Hunter Elliott from Ole Miss. Coming off an injury that has been incredible so far. Yeah. If we get that version of him the entire year healthy, that changes Ole Miss's like trajectory, and that kind of moves them from what we probably had as like a 12-16 team in SEC to where if they can win on Fridays, they could kind of steal a couple series that we didn't expect them to. And then, gosh, I don't know. So Joseph Zerwa has been great. Like, I know I missed out on them taking him last Friday. Kind of mad about that one, but yeah, he's been awesome.
You got to give a shout out to the Portland guy through a perfect game.
Yeah, Maddox style. You can't go unnoticed. 86 pitches with, and it was also 13 strikeouts with a perfect game. Like that was crazy.
There we go. There's the list ranked by Sierra: Liam Doyle, Pico Cone, Charlie Goldstein, Colton Book, Logan Lunsford, Matthew Becker, Pierce Kapala, Jeff Zerwa.
Yeah, Tyson Witherspoon, that's another one.
He looked really good.
He's another one he needs to mention because also like his two starts have been against two very good teams as well.
His brother's going well.
Yeah, Malachi's been great. So it's Tyson Witherspoon is one that people need to have their eyes on for sure. I forgot about him, but definitely should.
Here's a name:
Ben Jenkins. Jane Arnold's 25th.
What's up with him? Like Ben Jenkins, I thought was going to be far more elite. Very slow start. If they can get him going. I mean, they're still winning the games because they're just out hitting. But a lot of high expectations for him. I think he can be elite if he can just kind of wake up, be a little more consistent. He's got the talent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Can I give one more crazy, unrelated pitching stats that I saw? VMI has like five dudes with 10 plus stolen bases already in seven games. That is crazy.
Just that.
I mean, they're just taking bag on bag. I saw that stat when they played UVA, and I was like, holy crap. Like,
if you're not the most talented, yeah, you can find ways to win.
It is crazy. All right.
All right. Well, the good news is if you want to continue the discussion by a less distracted me, you can join us on Jeff Dawson's show, East Coast Sports Investors. We're trying to update the pitchers in live time, and I keep forgetting that we're live on a show. And 400 of you don't want to watch me at the side of my head as I look at my other monitor. However, it's all in efforts to give you the most accurate information, as Mr. Cover so politely put.
If you guys, if you were tuning in, I kind of teased it. If you use code INSIDERS on our Dub Club, you get 30% off for a month. It doesn't have to be first-time user. Join us. I mean, for $20, Smitty and Nick have absolutely paid for a season's worth. Matt and I are kind of on the struggle bus, but we'll turn it around. We always do. And then Insiders 10 with Home Field Apparel. We were limited last fall to a first purchase. This year, it's any purchase. I've already used it. Matt's already used it. Smitty's getting ready to. If people interact and tell him who to buy, then he's going to buy that shirt. So we'll get it going. So Insiders 10, Home Field Apparel, Insiders for Dub Club. Join us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I've one of my good friends just bought, like we tweeted out, that he just bought some Dale Earnhardt. He got two shirts and the hat. Love it.
Raise Dale.
Number three.
Use their code Insiders10. He said it worked great. Thanked me. Yeah. He said his bank account isn't thanking me, and he kind of cursed me out for that, for showing, like, for kind of introducing him to the site and everything. But yeah, there is, like, whether it is NASCAR, college baseball, it's by far college baseball, like, merch wise, the absolute best site. Like, there's nothing close. Like, unless you go to an actual, like, otherwise you have to go to, like, a school specific kind of store. And then it also gets way more expensive to do it that way. Yeah, that's like, Home Field is doing absolutely right, and they're just, like, growing so fast.
Yeah, I just got all my Arkansas gear in, and it's actually in the dryer getting fluffed. Shout out to Maytag for this new steam refresh thing where I don't even have to wash it. I can just refresh it.
Is that a new sponsor of ours? Love it.
Yeah. Are we getting Maytag? No free shout outs?
Yeah. No free shout outs. All right. Go over to East Coast Sports Investors. Watch 30 more minutes of bumbling idiots talk about college football. Or at least one of them. I'll be driving down the road, though, so that should be fun. We'll decide if I want to go camera on and camera off. Stress Jeff out. All right. Well, until next time.
See you.
See y'all.